With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Welcome back to another exciting episode of Earning Their Stripes. As always, Danny, Ian, and Ethan here to liven up your day. We also have a special guest for you as Isan Diaz will be calling in just a few. But before that, the fellas and I will discuss Jordan Yamamoto getting promoted. We're going to take a look at some of the trending prospects within the system and just have a good conversation because the Yams is pitching while we're recording this. So if you get any emotion, that's where it's coming from. I'm excited to get Isan. Fellas, how are you doing?
Good, man.
Doing pretty great, man. Glad to be here with you guys tonight.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. I mean, yeah. It could go really well. It could go
yeah,
really
it was
poorly.
Like, it was like if we had done an episode during the draft. Like, right. It could have either gone really well or really poorly. But
yeah, the draft.
This is cool stuff.
But so far, he went 8-pitch inning in the first. It was okay. You know, it's good stuff. Let's just even jump into that conversation, right? If you're listening and you're a Marlins fan, by now, you know, Jordan Yamamoto got promoted, right? Straight from Jacksonville. He's making a start today in place of Jose Urrea that was put on the 10-day IL for a myriad of reasons. We'll see which one really comes out as true and which one doesn't. But there's a lot of places we can go with this, whether we think this is premature, whether it's because of the 40-man roster construction, which, you know, I'll hit on, whether we think it's a spot starter, could it be a Pablo Lopez situation? But I'll let Ethan go and take it wherever you want, brother, as we see Yams finally make that debut.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to send, you know, congratulations again out to Jordan. This is such a huge moment for him and his family, and it's always exciting to see guys get their first shot in the bigs. So I just want to send congratulations out to him, a former Earning Their Stripes alumni. But
the first one to get the call. I love
it. The first one to get the call. Yeah, that was one of the first things I thought about was how exciting
it was.
It's just so cool to see him, you know, instead of just his name popping up on a box score, see him actually live and pitching. And so that's really cool. But I think what you're looking at here, and I tweeted out yesterday, is basically – one of two things, and I guess one of them now is not happening because Urrea is going on the IL. He's not being traded. So it's either the Marlins are more concerned with Caleb Smith's injury than they originally thought. And so he's going to come in and fill the role, and then Eliezer's going to move to the pen. But it also seems like it's not that because of Urrea's going to the IL. So what it is Urrea going to the IL, and then I think it was Luis Davila who said this, that Gallen wasn't ready to make the start now, so Yams makes the start while we need him. Could he last longer? Yes. Could Gallen come up? Maybe. But what it seems like is, like you talked about, Danny, with the 40 construction, it seems like this isn't serious enough for them to make a 40-man move. And, you know, either put somebody on the 60-day or make a move somewhere else on the 40-man to the point where they would be able to add Gallen to the 40-man to bring him up. So because of that, I can see Yams lasting more than just one start in the majors. It all obviously depends on how long Urrea is out, how long Ian, I'm looking at your name on my computer, Ian. I don't know why I said Ian. How long Caleb is out. But yeah, I'm. It's just exciting for Jordan, and you know, it was a little random, but he is the most ready guy. You know, when you look at the 40 man and the guys that are in the minors, he's probably the most MLB ready, and because of that, he's the guy that gets the call over Gallen right now, because the Marlins still just don't seem willing to be making that 40 man move to bring Gallen up.
Yeah, and there's just a couple of things there with that 40 man and with the Gallen. So you touched on it. To answer the conversation of why, at least I think it's just not, it was not Zach Gallen, right? The individual who's the skeptic or the conspiracy theorist will say, well, it's service time manipulation, whatever the case is. What I see is Zach Gallen, again, was on 2 days rest. He wasn't going to come up and have this spot start. Zach Gallen, like you mentioned, not on the 40-man roster, which means someone has to lose their position on that roster for Zach Gallen to come on up. Now, do I think that we could see Zach Gallen maybe next week if Smith's and Urania's injuries are a little bit more serious than they've been led on to be? You might really have the completion of the baby-faced aces if they were to call up Zach Gallen, even though it's possible Eliezer Hernandez might just stay in that role. He played very good yesterday, by the way. Mm-hmm. So it's not just like we can't just throw him to the pen right away, but it will be interesting to see how they handle this. Ian, what are your thoughts?
I've had some mixed thoughts on this whole situation the last day and a half, but overall I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, obviously I'm extremely excited for Jordan. He was one of my first interviews working for Fish Stripes, so I'm really excited to see him make it to the show at this time. I mean, it was surprising to see it, but I'm so stoked it happened. But the reason I'm indifferent behind it is how they're going to use him in this role. As you guys both touched on, there is some injuries and they're not serious enough to make a move for the 40-man. And he was on the 40-man roster already, so it was an easy move. But if it's just one start and sending him back down, I don't see the need for it right now. Today could have been a bullpen game, or so forth with Jeff Brigham starting, I would imagine. But that was just my thoughts. But granted, if we see Jordan for the next two or three starts, I'm stoked for it. I mean, the kid's got the stuff to play. I mean, he's looked good in Double A the last 2 years. He dominated early, and he's just steadily gotten better as the years went on. So I'm happy to see him pitch. I'm going to see how this plays out overall the next week or two, but right now I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, and Danny, like you said, you know, with the Pablo thing last year, this could be very similar, because if he does end up making two or three more starts and those starts look really good, like Pablo's first few starts did, then all of a sudden, you know, we've all talked about all year how Urania and Smith could be trade pieces. So if one of those guys comes back, we could be looking at the Marlins making a move here quickly to open up a rotation spot for Yams or for Gallen eventually. So it could be a Pablo-like thing, but I'm just glad it's not just bullpen help, which I think was one of the things that we all feared right away, was just getting he's not a bullpen arm. I don't think Yams plays as a bullpen arm down the road. I think he lines up as a starter in this organization down the road. So because of that, I'm glad that they didn't call him up just to get some extra help in the bullpen. And I don't think it's just one start, because like the Urania's thing, we don't know. And the Smith thing, I saw recently that there's no timetable for his return, which means that it could last a little longer than we initially thought.
Yeah, I think to touch on something that Ian said, like the Jeff Brigham, we spoke about that. If it was going to be a one spot start, they could have gone Brigham, they could have gone Chen, and that would have made up the five innings that we would be happy to get from Yamamoto today. So that speaks to it possibly being a little bit more. And then I'll agree with what you said, Ethan. When it first originally came out and we did not know what the corresponding move was, I said this would be really interesting if it was off of a trade, right? If Jose Urania had been traded, which is something we've discussed before possibly happening this year, it would be really interesting. Then I said it would be somewhat interesting if this was for a one start, two start kind of a thing. And then I said, but I would hate it if it's to go to the pen. So I'm with you on that. That this isn't an arm that you bring up, especially not from Jacksonville, and put in the pen. And they didn't do that. So I guess, you know, we can't really grill them too much for not doing that. But I do agree. I think we were all a little surprised, maybe, or not even surprised. We just I didn't think I was going to see Yams this early on. I'm happy for it, but I didn't think I would see it this early on. I wonder if either of you two kind of disagree with that.
I also didn't think we would see Pablo this early, you know, as early as we did last year. Right. We saw him around maybe like a month later than this last year. I think he came up sometime in July. Right. So we didn't expect to see him at this time last year. And we didn't definitely, you know, the Jordan Yamamoto thing caught me off guard. But it does make sense when you, like I said, when you look at the roster construction. Now, obviously, the skeptic thing to say is he's having a good year, but Gallen's having a much better year. And yes, Gallen, I believe it. I know you guys believe it too, that Gallen should be up. And the only reason he's not up, and we all know that, is because there's not a rotation spot and there's not a 40 spot up for him right now. But I think that's actually kind of good, because I would rather Yams make two or three spot starts than Gallen, because it's just easier, because we didn't expect Yams to, you know, be here already. We expect Gallen to be here. So if we call him up for two or three starts and then send him right back down, everybody will be mad. But at this point, if we do Yams for two or three starts, even if it really, you know, he succeeds, I think people will understand him going back down more than they would Gallen. So there, you know, obviously right away it was, well, Yams, not Gallen. But I think when you kind of break it down, like, it does make a lot of sense.
I agree. And I appreciate that perspective too. That if they would have brought up Gallen and then there's an issue there, you know, then it's, oh, we're just manipulating service time or whatever the case is. But this is, he's, like you said, already on the 40, easy to send back down if it is just for a few starts. All right. So then we could keep talking on that. Is there anything more that you guys want to uncover with the Yams conversation?
I think we just really got to see how it plays out the next week or two. Yeah. So it's going to be an exciting week. I mean, I think we've hit on all points. Like you said, Ethan, that last point really made a lot of sense. And it speaks to what a lot of people aren't thinking at this time right now. If we did bring up Gallen and send him back down with two stars, people would be a lot more upset. And it's a very tricky and difficult situation right now with these guys that are playing well in the minors and getting moved up and not. With Gallen, it's really hard to look at that. But I think when he does come up, it'll be sometime soon before the end of the next month, and he'll be here for good.
Yeah, and I think we have to get Gallen into a permanent rotation spot. Like, Mish said it all along, that Gallen isn't coming up until one of these two guys, Smith or Urania, is gone. Right. And so we just, you know, should they be gone? That's a topic for another time. But we have to be patient, and we have to wait until these guys are no longer on the 40. Is there another 40 move that could be made for Gallen? Absolutely. I wouldn't mind that being made at all, but where does he slot into the rotation right now? I'm not sure. The only place he could is if you move Eliezer to the bullpen. But then he's still only in Urania or Smith's spot and just waiting until one of them comes back. So I don't know. You know, there's so many factors here that it's a tough decision. You know, you're never going to be 100% right, whichever decision you make.
Yeah, Gallen, rather, there has to be a vacancy in that rotation for him to come up. I agree with you. It has to be something where he could come up and not look back. And that's, you know, that's his spot moving forward. I actually do have one baseball question. I'm going to start off with Ian, but I'd like both of y'all's perspective on this. When a prospect gets called up, we're always looking for something in their craft, right? Of how it generalizes or how it plays up at the big league level. For instance, with Sandy, it's always going to be about the control of his velo and his secondaries. You know, what is it that we might be looking at with Yams that we want to see if it generalizes over to the big leagues? And I'll let Ian go first.
Just the thing of his pitches. The kid can throw four pitches for strikes all game long. He works at a high tempo. And it's just, I want to see if he can bring this into the one thing I really, really want to see Jordan do is work out of trouble. It's what he's done his whole career is unfortunately get himself into trouble, but somehow makes his way out of it every time that I've seen him live. And it's been a sight to see. He's throwing great. He's got his first strikeout of the night right now as I talk about him. He's through two. So, I mean, exactly what I'm saying is I want to see the tempo from him, and I want to see him battle when he gets behind.
Yeah, I think one thing I want to see is we talked to him about this, actually, which is he's been effective at limiting damage without having to use the strikeout so much. You know, we saw so many strikeouts from him last year, like some huge strikeout numbers. night in and night out, it seemed like. But he talked about how he kind of realized that he's not a strikeout pitcher anymore. So I want to see, you know, can he, if he can, first of all, obviously you want to see, can he rack up, can he miss bats at a major league level? He just missed his first one now. But can he be effective without using the strikeout? Can, you know, and like Ian said, can he work out of tough situations against major league hitters? So there are things we want to see, you know, see from him. The stuff, you know, I'd like to see a little more velocity, but, you know, that's not who he is. So it's just going to be about this, the way he reacts to certain situations in the big leagues and his demeanor and how he handles, you know, getting into sticky situations against a major league lineup rather than a double A lineup.
Gotcha. Well, he's off to a good start so far, two scoreless innings. And the Marlins gave him some run support. The other pitchers must be like, man, you're new around here. You're already getting more runs than we are. Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Six up, six down. So, and he struck him out with a curveball, struck out Colton Wong. So, I mean, you know, if we see five solid innings from him tonight, you know, as long as the rails don't, you know, the train doesn't come completely off the rails, I'll be happy with his start tonight, because I don't have very high expectations considering he was on a bus in Double A yesterday.
Yep. All right, so we have about 10, 12 minutes before Isan comes on. Let's go ahead and talk about some of the trending guys. If we're being honest, this week, there wasn't a lot of hitting that happened in this farm system. I mean, outside of guys like Isan Diaz and Brian Miller, there wasn't a lot to really talk about. On the pitching side, there's more than enough to talk about. So I'll let you guys decide where you want to go on that. The only thing that I'm going to point out really quickly before you guys jump in is I can't let you guys take away my little bonus Lázaro Alonso nugget that I have here. Okay. You know, my guy, over the last month, he's hitting .301, .379, .456 as his slash. He has 3 homers, 7 doubles, 41 hits throughout that time. And he still has around 28, you know, he struck out 28 times, but he's also walked 12 times. So we're always going to be highlighting the first base prospects that perform. And I just want to say that my fellow Cuban has really come forward and in this last month has done really well. But with that being said, Ethan, go ahead and take it away.
One guy I want to talk about that I don't think we've really talked about too much is Sixto. Not the greatest number so far, you know, not exactly what we were expecting from him. But what has been a big positive from him so far is the strikeout and walks. He's not really walking a ton of guys at all. He has 8 walks so far in 8 games, so, you know, 1 walk per game. And he's striking out. He's had 6 strikeouts his last 2 games. Both he went 5 2/3 the other day, and 5 innings in his second to last start, the previous start before that. So he's just doing his thing, you know, and he's working his way back. I think, you know, everybody's going to be concerned about the fact that he's getting hit around a lot. He's given up a ton of hits this year. He gave up 6 in his last start. And 4 runs, but everybody's going to be concerned about that. But what we really should be looking at is the command stats, and he's not walking a ton of guys, and he's able to get strikeouts in the strike zone. He peppers the strike zone. He's always working around and inside it, and so I think it's good to see him be able to get strikeouts inside the strike zone. Now is the chance for him to start working and using his stuff more deceptively to get more missed bats and to, you know, stop giving up as many hits as he has. But he's been really solid. He's just kind of doing his thing. And I think we're going to continue to see him get better. And another thing I want to talk about, just mention quickly, is Banfield had 2 hits the other night, a double and a home run. His numbers still aren't really that great, but he's been able to flash power this year. There's been a lot of power out of him this year, and I just think that's exciting because, you know, the catcher isn't the most valuable offensive position, but if he's going to be able to provide some pop from that spot with the defense that he plays, that'll be really good and will help him move up through the system really quickly. So it's nice to see him showing some power, and hopefully Sixto, you know, can put one of these starts that we were expecting from him, but he'll get there. You know, he'll work his way there. I'm excited about him.
And at least when it comes to Sixto, if this is what a bad Sixto looks like, please sign me up.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this is his first time at this level. Okay. He is working all around the strike zone, which is also likely why he's getting hit. I mean, you mentioned it. He's peppering the strike zone. Individuals at that level are going to make contact. It's still not even overly hard contact. When you look at some of the film, it's not like he's getting homered to death here. Mm-hmm. But if this is really the worst that we're going to get of a Sixto Sanchez, goodness gracious, wait until this super young pitching arm is actually entering and knows how to pitch out of the zone and get people out of the zone. And I mean, I'm excited for, you know, I know Marlon's Twitter, I think you kind of responded to this. Marlon's Twitter said something to the extent of, are we worried about Sixto Sanchez? Yeah, the answer is no. I mean, the answer is just no. He's been...
I've seen a lot of people
with the stuff.
I'll be the like lowest on six though too. I think I'll be the hardest guy on him, and I think the toughest. I mean, the biggest thing he's got going for him right now is he throws too many strikes, and that's the hardest. Like you guys both just said, like his control is so elite that he just knows nothing else but to put the ball in the strike zone. And if he starts to start putting something in the dirt every now and then, and work inside and outside, he's going to be striking guys out right and left. Like, his stuff is so gross that he's giving up weak grounders and slap singles. But I think he's got nothing to worry about going forward if he starts missing bats wise.
Yeah, I agree. I've said that problem. That's his problem. Just throwing too many strikes. Because if you leave it in the strike zone, guys are going to hit it. You know, but guys, he's still able to be effective and limit damage and get a bunch of strikeouts. So, you know, everybody's going to look at the hits and the runs and be like, oh my God, he's terrible. But he's not. He's a very good pitcher. He has great stuff and great command of his stuff. And he's going to learn how to use that.
And he's 20 in double A.
Yeah.
I mean,
I didn't even
realize
he's only 20.
And the stuff that people might point at isn't even that bad. Like the hits and it's we could still see why this is a consensus top, 25 prospect in baseball. And we can see why the Marlins should be really excited about his development and where he's at. All right. How about Eason Diaz? Someone take Eason Diaz away, because if he's going to be on here, we got to give him some love. He's continued his hot streak. Whoever wants to speak about it, we always fight for him. Go for it.
Go for it, Ian.
I'll talk about Eason a little bit here. He's continuing to just put some power into the baseball. And now, last 10 days, he's hitting 333, 389, and 788. He's had some Instagram-worthy plays on defense as well with that backhand.
Yeah,
play
that was pretty.
Night. That was insanely easy looking, which makes me sad, but I just can't imagine how hard that could be in real time. But he's playing great baseball. I mean, I'm so stoked we have him on the show today. I obviously have to go to work, but I have to miss out on this, but you guys are gonna kill it for me. But I've been so high on Eason since our first episode. He's been my guy. He's who I think is gonna be the minor league player of the year, and he's proving it right now. He's got 14 homers and I forget how many games, but it's not too many. He's got more homers than he had all last year already in the year. And he's just looking like a polished prospect finally. This guy had a couple of rough seasons the last couple of years, but he's starting to find his stroke. He's in a system where he knows he's going to be for a little while. He's been on three teams already in his young career. He really just needs to be comfortable in a situation. I finally feel like he's in a situation that he's comfortable. And the results are there. I'm excited to see what he can do finishing this out, and I really hope we see him in Miami come August.
Yeah, and he's gonna demolish his career high for homers if he
I'm
stays down
at this
there
right now.
If they don't call him up, I mean, it's not even going to be close. It's nice to see that isolated power with him, and just his approach. You know, we've spoken that the last few years, maybe he did take a dip, but we also remember he had hand injuries. Maybe there was something that his approach had changed or something was still happening there with his hand, but it is the player that we're seeing right now is a bona fide prospect, and I can't wait to see him in Marlins Park.
Yeah. I'm going to jump in here with some numbers. Like you said, Danny, he's going to crush if he stays down, he's going to crush his, home run total. He's got career home run total. He's got 14 this year in 62 games. The most he ever hit was 20. In his first season with the Brewers and that was in 135 games. And then if you want to take a look at some of the numbers, his slash line is so impressive. He's been so hot recently that he's gotten to his slash line to a point where you don't even realize that he had a really rough start to the year. His OPS was under five, you know, under 600 at one point. So his slash line now is 284, 371 OBP, 529 slugging. His OPS is up at an even 900. His strikeout rate is the lowest it's ever been, except for 1 year with the D-backs, only 22.1 strikeout percentage. And you talked about his isolated power, Danny. 244 is his isolated power right now. For those of you that don't know what it is, I think it's just slugging percentage minus batting average. It basically just shows how well a guy hits for power. Like 100 is good, or average. So right now his is 244. So that shows how much power he's hitting for. And he's got a 121 weighted runs created plus right now. So some analytics just to back up how well he's performing. And like I said, like, it's really impressive that with that kind of start, like, he really got out of the gates poor. I mean, he was under the Mendoza line. His OPS was under 600. And now he's up to a 900 OPS, and his numbers are just tremendous. And, you know, now,
can I just say something now, very quickly?
Yeah.
If Yams goes fives, he's going to win this game because Cooper just hit a grand slam.
Oh, my God. Oh, backdrop.
Coop is raking.
It was almost an identical swing, and he went to where the statue used to be.
He went into the Auto Nation Alley stairs.
He's done that twice now.
Dude. Michaelis, Cub Killer, Miles Michaelis. I'm sorry,
Ethan. I just had to say that.
That was exciting. But
I'm so glad
now
we got
it's good.
That.
And you know what? It's good for Yams because now some of the nerves are off, you know?
Look at him smiling in the dugout.
Yeah.
Coop's also in my fantasy league on Fish Stripes, guys.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Let you guys know that. But...
Now this is great for Jordan because now he can really settle in and it takes a lot of the pressure off of him. And with two really good innings under his belt, hopefully we see him start cruising here, but I'm going to knock on wood and take that back because you know how the Badowski jinx works. So we'll see how that goes.
And it's on the air. So now we can't even do anything about it if it goes back.
Now everybody will know if I jinx Jordan's first start or not, now with Isan, the one thing is it's just a waiting game. You know, when is Castro, when do we trade him for, even if it's just IFA money or draft pool money or something, when do we open up that spot to get Isan there? Because he's ready. He's more than ready. You can tell he's ready to go. And, he sounded like it. Yeah. He sounds like it. So, I can't wait to have him up at the big leagues.
Yeah, I want to get just one more player in here. And Ian, this is going to be your guy, okay? At some point, we're going to have to do a special on Edward Cabrera. We really are. Like,
that's
5 minutes that we have here will not be enough. Now, Ian's writing a really good piece that I'm sure will be on Fish Stripes eventually on Edward Cabrera. I want you to just give a tease, all right? And I don't want us to go too in-depth. Isan's about to call in, and I want Edward Cabrera to have his time whenever we talk about him. But Ian, just talk a little bit about Cabrera because it's just ridiculous what he's doing, and he deserves to be spoken about, even if it's just on our podcast.
He's been incredible so far this year. It's been the biggest jump of any of our prospects, probably, and that's including Zach Gallen. I mean, he's looked phenomenal. His velocity's up. The secondaries are showing plus. It's been phenomenal. He's currently on an 11-inning scoreless streak right now. And earlier in the year, he had a 21 and third-inning scoreless streak. He's dominating Jupiter right now. He's only 2 months older than Sixto, with extremely better stats so far this year in the Florida State League. I mean, that's it's not saying a lot for just going to count stats, but the kid has been balling. I mean, the highest strikeout rate of his career so far this year. He's sitting on 99 on the gun most of his starts. He was out for about a week with a little blister injury and came back and looked even better than before the injury.
Yeah,
he's a Florida State League All-Star. But as I say that, this weekend is the
All-Star
game in Jupiter. So I hope everybody comes out to that. It's going to be a great weekend. But yeah, back to Edward. I think he's going to be in Jacksonville a lot sooner than we think.
Mm-hmm.
He's really done all he needs to do so far this year in single A pitching. He threw 100 innings last year in high A, I mean, in regular A, and he's threw 70 innings in high A this year, and he's just looked better. I think they're going to challenge him. I think he's got the body type to be challenged. He's showing the type of pitches to be an elite pitcher, be a starting pitcher in the majors. So I think they're going to push this guy, and I think we'll see him in Jacksonville probably the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's an easy one if Yams stays up at the major league level. I think that's a very easy promotion for the Marlins to make. He should be the first guy from this Jupiter rotation right up to Jacksonville. 2.04 ERA, 2.23 fielding independent pitching, which suggests that his ERA is legit. That low of an ERA is very legit. His K per nine, like you mentioned, it's levels above anything he's ever had before. 11.04 right now, his highest before that was 8.34. K rates up in the 30s. His walk percentage is under 8. He's just been so good this year. Only let up one home run. It was in his first start. Every time I tweet about him, I usually finish the tweet with Jacksonville. He should be there. He's proven enough in the Florida State League right now. It's time to get him up, challenge him, like you said, Ian, see what he can do in Jacksonville. It's very, speaking of Yams, it's eerily similar to what Yams did last year, where he just dominated in Jupiter and went right up to Jacksonville very quickly. They made a move for him to Jacksonville very quickly, and I think they should do the same thing with Edward.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, and I'll just add this little nugget. Cabrera, Rogers, Holloway, Devers, all four are Florida State League All-Stars, which tells you something about the system. They're all four of them are also worthy. And I want Ian to just give in a little plug really quickly again, because I know you did it, but in a very modest fashion, about the All-Star game, about what you've done for the All-Star game, and how individuals can get out there.
Oh, yes. There's actually a few giveaways we're doing on Fish Tribes right now. I was able to donate 50 tickets this weekend for the All-Star game. I mean, I think it's going to be a great weekend. I love Jupiter. I think I want to see everybody out there that follows us. And I thought this would be the easiest way to do it, is to really get people involved. You can go on fishtribes.com and make your own top 15 prospects list. And we are picking a few winners to get 4 packs of tickets for the game this weekend. And it's a good time. I mean, Jupiter is a great park to be in. It's an all-star game environment, so everybody's going to be excited. And you get to see some of the top prospects in baseball. So if you have the time, go on there and check that out. Or if you just want to come out to the game this weekend, you should do so as well. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely. All right, fellas. So Isan's going to be calling in a little bit. We are going to log off after that so that we can see Yams continue his nice outing that he has so far. Isan Diaz. Now joining us is a man with one of the nicest swings in the game and more than enough production coming from that same swing. Someone who many scouts identify as a top prospect in the system, both at the plate and with the glove. Asan Diaz. Asan, thank you for coming on, man.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me.
It's always a pleasure to have you guys on. And quite frankly, if we're being honest, if you even go back just a few episodes, you're going to hear how much myself and Ethan just love the player that you are. So we're excited for this today. We're excited to, have a quick conversation with you. And I actually want to start off with something that I would assume just made you incredibly proud. You had the opportunity to play for Puerto Rico in the Under-23 Baseball World Cup. And I just wonder what it meant for you to be able to put on that Puerto Rican flag and have a good showing the way that you did.
Absolutely not, man. It was I think I had maybe a few flashbacks when I had gotten the call from Yadier. Yadier Molina was actually our manager both years. Huh. And he gave me a call and obviously didn't recognize the number, and you know, I'm here. You know, obviously I picked up, and, you know, he just asked me a few questions about how my season was going and you know, what were my thoughts about the off season and what was I looking into. And he presented the, you know, the tournament and what he was organizing and putting together and trying to, you know, put it back Puerto Rico on the map and stuff like that. So, you know, I couldn't resist, and I had to accept the, you know, the offer. But, you know, when I was a kid, my dad used to play in this Puerto Rico Dominican softball tournament every year. And the uniforms, they were so nice. But I obviously really didn't have a clue about, you know, where I was from yet, or, you know, I was very young at the time and I was living in Massachusetts. So I always had a dream of wearing the uniform and wearing the colors. And it just so happened to be that I had gotten an opportunity 13 years later to actually be able to represent our country in that way with those kind of people as our coaching staff. It was kind of an amazing experience.
Absolutely. You mentioned it. I mean, you were born in Puerto Rico and then you came over at an early age. You were in Massachusetts in that area. You know, we all expect you to become that player that eventually will get the call, hopefully, for like a World Baseball Classic. Have you ever considered if you would don the Puerto Rico or if you would consider the U.S.? What are your thoughts on that? Because that's always an exciting question when the player has two nationalities that they could really identify with.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, obviously I live here and I was practically raised here in the U.S., born in PR, you know, but obviously, I have a lot of family that's out in Puerto Rico, and you know, for everything that they've gone through and what that place has gone through, you know, I think that if I were to make a decision, it'd have to be Puerto Rico, obviously. But you never know. Obviously, I mean, things change through time. But I think as of right now, I would pick Puerto Rico as my number one choice.
No, yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
Speaking of number one, Isan, you've had a few different numbers throughout your career, I've noticed, but the one you're rocking right now happens to be my favorite number as well, number one. Is there one number that you've always kind of gone to when you have the opportunity to play baseball, and is there one number that you feel you would want to stick with for the rest of your career?
Yeah, well, my favorite number is 11. My dad wore it. I wore it when I was a kid. I wore my first 2 years in pro ball, and then I kind of jumped over to six. Then now it's one. But I would say if there was one number I'd have to wear for the rest of my career, it would be number one. My grandfather wore number one when he played back in the day. So, and now he's actually back home. You know, he's going through a lot and stuff like that. You know, he's kind of in that stage where he's, you know, he's very old and stuff. But, you know, he's hanging in there. He's doing well. You know, and right now I'm just, you know, representing him and kind of really just taking on, awesome, you know, his name in my mind every day. Every day I go to the field, his name is always in my mind. And, you know, that's kind of the reason why this year I took on the role of wearing number one.
Isan, really quickly, because we asked Monte this and I want to get your impression on it too. I don't even know if you're going to remember, but during spring training, the Marlins marketing and media campaign did something called, I think, like the Miami Ink Madness, right? So they asked you to take pictures of like your arm sleeve, your tattoo, the ink work you have done. And they put y'all up against each other. And of course, you know, Monte ends up winning it at the end. Obviously, you have really good work done on you. Is there any particular piece that is most important to you or that you just hold dearest to you?
Absolutely. I would say the one on my right shoulder has Jesus' hands. And my family's name is all over it. It's my dad's name, my mom's, my brother, my sister. And, you know, that kind of was, it was my first tattoo when I got it. I was like 18, I think. And it has to be probably my favorite one. And I told Monte right after that, when I saw that he won on Twitter, I told Monte, I was like, Monte, if you're lucky that I didn't show the rest of my tattoos. I only showed my arm because I have more. But if I had showed the rest, he probably would have lost. I told him that. I was like, he probably would have lost. But, you know, Monte, he's like, nah, I would have never lost. He's got the best tattoos in the world.
Speaking of Monte, you're in New Orleans and you're with him, sadly down on the IL right now. And you're also with Lewis and Jordan Yamamoto just got a big call. And you guys are, of course, part of one of the biggest trades that really started this rebuild. What's the relationship with those guys like, having been together in an organization before? And is there a little extra added motivation from you guys to to show what you guys have based on where you guys came from and how you got to this organization?
Absolutely. You know, we talk about it constantly. You know, we have our own group chat, and you know, we have conversations and stuff, and you know, we chit chat every now and then, you know, about, you know, things that are going on. And I was very excited and happy to just hear that, you know, Yamamoto was getting the opportunity to go up and play in the big league finally. I believe that, you know, we've all kind of created this bond and this kind of relationship where we know each other to a certain extent, to where, you know, we know how each other feels, you know, towards certain situations, and we kind of know how to play with each other, you know, especially on the field. There's a lot of good communication that is involved, and there's a lot of good things that happen when we're all on the field at the same time, you know, which is obviously a good feeling to have as a player, to know that, you know, you can go out and play with someone that you already know. You know, it's always a plus, you know, rather than to playing with someone that, you know, it's, you know, you don't really know very well, you know, it's kind of the first time, and you're just kind of getting used to him and really just trying to get to know him while the season's going on. But just to have Brenton and Monte on the same team, you know, it means a lot, and it helps out a lot as well, you know, because they keep me on my toes as well, and they pick me up, you know, when things are not going well, and we kind of just feed off each other. So it's always a plus to play with them.
You mentioned Jordan getting the call, and you're right on the doorstep, Isan, and you've been dominating all year down in AAA.
Another 1-2. And that one is drilled in the right field, going back, track, wall, that is gone! Isan Diaz has given the Kings a 3-1 lead! On a rope, Diaz sends it over and out to right.
Just a general question. Is it hard when you're right there on the doorstep to stay patient as you wait for that call up to the bigs, especially with the way you've been performing this year?
That's a great question. You know, I try not to put too much mind towards it. You know, I've been kind of just letting things happen on their own and just kind of taking it each day, you know, one day at a time, not really rushing through the process, and really just kind of letting the days come. Obviously, you know, if the day happens this year, you know, then it happens this year. If it doesn't, then, you know, we continue to work, you know, and I believe, you know, we have lots of conversations here, you know, we can't stop working, you know, and we can't stop continuing to believe in ourselves and trying to focus on other things that are really not important at the time, but besides playing that day at 7 o'clock and getting the job done, you know, and that's kind of been my main focus since I got here, is, you know, to continue to go out and perform each day, day in and day out, and continue to just be myself.
Isan, I'm going to sneak in a baseball question, but before I do that, we just got this sent in from Twitter because they know that we're interviewing you. A really soft question, I promise. When you get to the majors, you already spoke about possibly, you know, keeping on to that number one jersey for your grandfather. High knee pants or the long down to the cleats?
I'm undecided, but I pick and choose every now and then.
Yeah, you could change it up, right? It doesn't have to be one consistent.
Yeah, I like the high socks, man. I like the high socks.
I like that look,
but,
too.
But, you know, when things are going good, you know, and you're wearing pants down, you kind of try and keep the same routine. So, you know, it's been good with the pants down, so I think we'll keep them down for now.
That's good. All right, so my baseball question, I promise, isn't too hard either. You know, you've always been able to hit wherever you've gone. You've had success on the field, too. I mean, we actually just saw, I think it was your brother who sent it out, a video of you getting a grounder. The momentum was kind of taking you the other way, so you went behind the back to switch hands. I mean, we can't wait to see this up at Marlins Park. But from the outside looking in, something that's been really different this year, again, just from the outside looking in, is that K percentage, right? You were around high 80s or high 20s, my bad, last year. You're down to the low 20s this year at AAA. What is there anything specific that you went into this season targeting? Is it just that you feel more comfortable with your approach, just seeing the ball? Where do you think that comes from?
You know, to be honest with you, I really been just trying to just be ready to hit at all times. It's kind of been my biggest thing this year, is really taking each at-bat and each pitch as an at-bat, because every pitch is an at-bat, you know, not every at-bat is an at-bat, every pitch is an at-bat, and I think the most important thing, and a lot of us kind of tend to forget every now and then, is to just make sure you're ready to hit, you know, and not really, you know, be, you know, in this lollygag mode and kind of just let a few pitches go by. You're always on the attack, you know. We're on a mission, and that's to do the job, get the job done. And I think when you have that mindset, everything kind of just takes a life on its own, you know, and you start to do things that, you know, you might have thought you never were able to do just because of the mindset, you know. Right. And I think that kind of helps me out to just go out and perform as well on the defensive side as well. You know, I think it's been great so far. And you know, we're just trying to continue to stay consistent with that mindset, you know, day in and day out.
Ihsahn, our boy Ian, who helps us host the show, couldn't be here today, but he had one question that he really wanted to ask you, and it's how important and how special is it to you to have your brother there watching you every day?
Oh, man, it's special, man. I think, you know, when I was a kid, I always had my dad, look, you know, come out and kind of, you know, give me the scoop on, you know, things that I did wrong, and now it's kind of my brother to kind of really see things, and you know, he's young, but he's learning as well, and he knows a lot of things as well for a young age. But I think it's good to have him, you know, kind of just watch and just learn, because I feel like the faster he can learn, then, you know, the better he can get, you know. And, you know, he's obviously trying to make his way to making his dream come true as well. And I think it's very possible. So, you know, I told him just to continue to work hard. And I told him, too, if I did something wrong, if you see me do something wrong, please don't hesitate to tell me, you know. So he's got that confidence in me. And, you know, we've always, you know, we always talk about the game. And he's in love with the game just as much as I am. So it's always good to have that person with you as well.
All right, we're going to get you out of here on this, Ihsahn. I've been asking everybody that comes on with us this question. I think the minor league life is crazy, and what you guys go through is just so interesting to me. So I want to know, you've played in some crazy places. What's one story of just either the worst experience you've had on the road or a place that you were just like, this is really where I'm at trying to accomplish my dream? But, you know, is there one place really that stands out to you that was just an awful minor league experience, I guess, is the question.
I think I've been very fortunate to be able to be a part of, you know, obviously, you know, three organizations, you know, the leagues that I've played in. I feel like they've all been great, you know. Mm-hmm. I come from a place where, you know, the fields are not that great, and, you mm-hmm. know, the backstop is not great, and the dugouts are not always that good looking, you know. So I feel like every park that I've played in to this day has been great, you know. I really mm-hmm. have nothing bad to say about any field that I've been on or played on. You know, I think that maybe if there was one place I'd have to say something was, I think it was Clinton. I think in my mm-hmm. low A year back in 2016, Clinton, they just had this smell of, like, I don't know if it was like dog food around the whole city. It was just terrible. And we can like smell it in the hotel too. And it was bad. That was bad. That was terrible. It was hard to sleep at night too with that smell. That was just brutal.
Oh my God!
There was one place, it had to be Clinton, but everything else, every other place has been awesome.
All right, Ihsahn, you have been awesome, brother. I really appreciate it. We won't take any more of your time. Keep doing what you're doing, and can't wait to see you in those knee high socks and
in that number one baby
in Marlins Park. I love it.
That number one.
Thanks,
appreciate it,
man.
Keep going, brother.
All right, man. Have a good one. Bye.
Yeah, you too.
Another sincere thank you to Ihsahn Diaz. I really feel like I say this to every single guest that comes on, and it's because I genuinely mean it. It was a blast talking to you. It is absolutely humbling that we get to have conversations with you all, and you guys are always so great about it, and Ihsahn was non-exception to that. You were awesome, and we can't wait to see you out there at Marlins Park. I hope everyone was able to pay attention to what Ian told us before we logged on with Esan. But if not, make sure to go on to fishstripes.com. Make sure to see how you can make your way to the Florida State League All-Star Game. Ian is a fantastic person, if you don't know by now, and decided to get all those tickets for us. So, you know, make sure that we take advantage of this, of what should be a really exciting weekend. As always, like and subscribe. We really do appreciate it when you guys leave reviews. It shows us that we're doing something right, and it shows us that, you know, this labor of love is something that we should continue doing and continue working on. Thank you all, and go fish.